Erev Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Parshat Ki Tavo. One of the more ominous parshiot of the Torah. Most of the parsha is a detailed description of the horrific events that will take place, that will be visited upon Jews if they do not keep the Torah in its narrow sense and its broad sense. It is such a such an ominous and such a disconcerting, almost really shocking description of the kinds of things that we are promised if we do not go in the way of the Torah. That traditionally, the person who gets that aliyah, nobody gets that aliyah. The person who gets it is the person who blames the Torah, because nobody wants that aliyah. Why would you want to be called up to the Torah and have all these terrible things described while you're on your watch, as it were? In a broader sense, though, tradition has it that this parsha always has to be read before Rosh Hashanah, and the reason is pretty straightforward, because this is a major part of the renewal of the covenant between God and Israel before the entry of the people into the land of Israel, in which God makes it very clear, the land is given to you. It's yours. It belongs to you from the time of Abraham. However, there is a difference between ownership and certificate of occupancy. Ownership means the land can only belong to us. And Rav Soloveitchik used to like to point out, and he wasn't the only one, that the only time that the land of Israel ever really brought forth its riches, its fruits, and so on, was when Jews lived here. On the other hand, the certificate of occupancy is not unconditional. It is dependent. It is dependent upon our behavior. It is dependent upon our behavior in many, many different ways. One of the ways of trying to tie it together is through focusing on one verse, which I think actually provides a key or one way of unlocking this week's Parsha, next week's Parsha, and the 2 weeks afterwards. The Parsha begins with the story of what happens when a person has first fruits, and they come to the temple, and they bring the first fruits to God, and they thank God for, the person thanks God for bringing us out of Egypt, and for bringing us to the land of Israel, and for giving us the opportunity to work the land and enjoy the fruits thereof, and as an act of appreciation, we bring the first fruits to the temple. Okay, that's number one. And Hakarat HaTov, one of the greatest qualities that is expected of a Jew is, in fact, to be appreciative, to be grateful, not to be an ingrate. And then we have the following. After that, when the cycle of tithes, the six-year cycle, we're coming up to the end of one this year because it's going to be sabbatical year, when all of the cycles of tithes are finished, and if you have leftover produce that should have gone to the Kohen, it should have gone to the Levite, it should have gone to the poor person, depending on what year it was, you have to pay up all your debts. And at the end of saying so what happens is when you give the Kohen what he deserves, and the Levite what he deserves, and the widow what she deserves, and the stranger or the convert, and so on, everybody gets what the Torah has demanded you give from of your own to them to support them. You could call it social justice if you want, even though if I think the word is overused. Excuse me. At the end of declaring that you have actually paid up all your debts, the Torah, this is chapter 26, verse 15. Hashkifa mima'on kodshecha ma'ashamayim. Look out from your heavenly abode, or your holy heavenly abode. Uvarech et amcha Yisrael. Et Yisrael. Bless your people. Bless Israel. Ve'eta adama shenatata lanu, in the land that you gave us. Kasher nishbata labotenu, as you swore to our forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. There is an interesting story. There was a Rosh Hashiva at Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan at YU in my day. He was an older man. His name was Rabbi Arnest. He was a student or close associate of Rav Avram Kahana Shapira, the last Rav of Kovna, known as the Kovna Rav. He's known for his book, The Dvar Avram. And Rabbi Arnest was a very mild-mannered, soft-spoken person. And he always had a small, shiur of Talmidim who studied with him. And once they asked him, Rebbe, in addition to just studying Gemara, can we study Hashkafa? Can we study Jewish philosophy, or how we should look at things, and how the Torah teaches how to relate to the world? So Rabbi Arnest, who was a Litvak, so he's a bit of a cynic, looks at them and says, and quoted a comment of Chazal, Kol hashkafot sheva Torah l'ra'a chutz mehashkifa m'moim kodshecha. Chazal say that whenever the Torah uses the words hashkifa, to look out, or hashkafa, to look out, then that denotes something bad. God looked at Sodom and he destroyed Sodom. The only place where the word hashkafa is used in a positive context is in this verse, that God should look out over us from heaven and bless the Jewish people for on the land in which he gave us. I often think about that story, because at the end of the day, there's something very profoundly formative in this verse, meaning that it really all comes down to what this verse says in its context, and that is as follows, that at the end of the day, we are given tremendous opportunities to create a just and equitable society, not according to the way we make things up, but the way that God set the parameters in terms of how to treat the disadvantaged and how to treat one another and how to respect the land as well. And one of the striking things about the description of the horrors that will happen if we neglect and we don't obey the Torah, is that we will have betrayed the land itself by not allowing it to rest. In other words, the residence in the land of Israel is a matter of absolute right and absolute obligation. And we betray it if we do not live up to our obligations as to the kind of society that we're supposed to build on this land. The irony being, that we can't be anything anywhere else. One of the striking things about the what's called the tochacha, the rebuke, the massive rebuke that the Torah contains in terms of what will happen to us if we don't obey the words of the Torah. In fact, the last of the invectives which the Torah uses as an introduction to the tochacha, to the list of terrible things that will happen, is arura shelo yakim kol Torah d'vrei Torah zot. Cursed will be he who does not keep all the words of this Torah, which, by the way, means you can't pick and choose. You can't be a ritual fetishist, you can't be a ritual Jew, and you can't just be a moral, you can't just be a sort of benet on the chavera Jew. It's a package deal, because everything works into everything else. Because at the end of the day, the way the Torah sees it, the Torah is a constitution, and the legislator is God, and therefore we are put ourselves in a position of dependence, which involves deference, which involves humility, which involves appreciation of that which we are given, and mitigates against arrogance. Arrogance is the first step towards sin, because at the end of the day, if you are arrogant, then you really worship yourself before you worship anybody else. And if you worship yourself, you will ultimately become an idolater, because worshiping anyone or anything other than God is a form of idolatry. I think I've quoted this a number of times, the great Damiatus Hamilton, the author of mythology, writes in her introduction, the Greeks made the gods in their own image, because the gods were basically reflections or expansions of themselves. They view themselves totally dependent on themselves, and especially later on, they didn't really believe in the gods. So we're coming back to this verse, in light of all of that, the fact that this verse, Hashkifa Mamon Kachacha Vashamayim, look out on your people, is a very striking statement. On the one hand, there is an expression of, I don't say pride in the sense of arrogance, but of satisfaction in the sense that I've done what I'm supposed to do. I've supported the poor. I've supported the educational system, which is who you're talking about when it comes to the priests and the Levites. And now please bless us. On the other hand, Hashkifa Mamon Kachacha Mashamayim, look out over us from heaven and bless us means try us. Not in the sense of, try me, but rather I'm exposing myself. I'm willing to be transparent. See if I've lived up to what I'm supposed to live up to. See if I've maintained the kind of standards and the kind of life that I'm supposed to build. Am I morally sufficient? Have I been as careful in your worship, in the ritual sense, or in the treatment of other people, as in the sense of interpersonal relations? Because they're both part of the same thing. And then we'll see if you bless us. In other words, there's a readiness for God to say to God, I'm ready to be judged. Hashkifa Mamon Kachacha Mashamayim, I depend on you. I am willing, I'm scared perhaps, but I'm willing to be judged because there's no one else to talk to. There's no one else to expose myself to because only you know what's in the deepest resources of my heart, even though you're in the farthest ends of the heaven. And I am ready to take the consequences of my actions. If that's the, and I think that's really the underlying, with all of the drama and all of the things that will happen at the coincidence hour, that if we don't do the right thing, what we will undergo, I think that that's actually what, one of the reasons why, it wasn't because of the hellfire and brimstone. By the way, the words hellfire and brimstone actually pop up in next week's parasha. I don't think it's a hellfire and brimstone. I think it's the fact that it was the implicit readiness, the implicit willingness of Jews, of the individual, to say I'm going to take it on the chin. I'm going to be a grown up, and I'm going to say I'm responsible to somebody else, and I'm not going to psychologize my sins, and I'm not going to therapize my failings. I have freedom of will, and I have and if I did something wrong, I will take it through. I will take just as I want. I would like to be rewarded and acknowledged for the good things I did. By the same token, I am willing to take responsibility for the things that I did wrong, even though it's not comfortable. And discomfort is the opposite of what contemporary society wants. But Torah says, look at you. Takes your money and takes your chances. Pays your money and takes your chances. You have to be ready to take the results of your actions. Actions have consequences. Hashkifa Mimon Kachacha Mashamayim. Look out from heaven and see exactly what we have done, what we haven't done. And I think that's the reason why it's so important that Kitavo actually should be read before Shana. If that's the case, then coming back to Rabbi Arnest, if the word Hashkafa can mean either something good or something bad, well, at the end of the day, how God will see us really isn't up to him. How God will see us really is up to us. Shabbat Shalom.